Coming from Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 8 and going through verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Delium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend to it and to keep it.
What's most important in your life? What's most important in your life? Probably number one is God, or at least it should be. As we think about what's most important in my life or what's most important in your life, and it has to be God is at the top. And I guess this goes along with that, or it all does, but the second would be like it in the sense that the church is important to us. So I would think if we had a one and two, it would be God and it would be the church. Maybe they're the same. I don't know. I don't know where I would put those. I thought of this on my way up here. But either way, you got one and two. So what's the third thing? Third most important thing in your life? I would hope that most people, unless I'm missing something from walking up there to here, it would have to be family. It would be our family. It would be our home. And those would be our top priorities when we think about our lives and our existence here on this earth. Those three have to become center of our focus, center of our life and our existence, and the very being that we have, that we're trying to focus our attention on those three. Think about where God placed the first family. Jacob just read for us. All the things that were beautiful. They had the trees, they had fruit, they had gold, they had a river running through it. I can only imagine how beautiful this garden really was. When we think about the garden, we think about all that is good. But we know there was one thing that was not there with them at the time, because the Bible points it out. There were not any briars. At this point, they didn't have the thorns. In other words, they didn't have trouble when God put them in their first home and he wanted them to be happy. And I think that the intention of God has for us is that our homes, our family, that we're happy together. But as you go on and you read, I'm not going to read the entire first few chapters of Genesis, but what Jacob read for us, and then if we went on to the end of the chapter there, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou may eat freely, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone, but I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. What kind of place was this garden? It was a place that God set just for them. And everything that he did, that Jacob read, and all the way down to the end of the chapter, was for one purpose and one purpose only. Happiness. He wanted them to live in a beautiful place and have nice things and have everything that they need to exist and have a home. Now what happened? I said it wasn't thorns. I said it wasn't briars. It wasn't. It come later. You know, if God put man and woman in such a beautiful place with all these good things that anyone could imagine, he intended for their happiness. Since he chose this site right here that we're reading about as the first home, he intended, and I think it goes on throughout the Bible and even to today, he intended for the home to be a happy place. But now back to the briars and such. It did not come to after sin. And then the ground was cursed. And then the evil began. And you think about Adam and Eve, and you think about their life together to a point, and then once sin came into their life, God was not the one that caused their unhappiness. It was sin. Look here, from the time forward, the progression of unhappiness and hurt began to compound. First, Adam and Eve was driven out of the garden. Then they had two sons. These two sons grew up to be young men. One killed the other. Disaster was in the family. Disaster was in the home. And we know the story of Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, and we can walk through this whole scenario tonight. But think about our homes now. Think about the happiness, or maybe the lack of, in our homes. What keeps happiness in out of our families? What hurts us? What drives us apart? It's one word, is it not? It's sin. Sin gets into homes. Sin gets into our lives, gets into marriage relationships. It's not long till bad things start to happen. We look around today and we think our world is in a terrible place, which it is. When we think about the home, the divorce rate, last time I read or done any studying on it, it's more than 50%. When you look at marriages today, not only is marriages being attacked today between a man and a woman, now there's marriages between two women or two men. Rights are given to them, just like man and woman. According to our society, that is a thing that's getting accepted, and it will be more and more accepted the more that it goes, the more that it continues to grow. It will get widespread. Even in the denominations, even in the church today, I'm sure that homosexuality and divorce and remarriage is accepted as a commonplace, a common outline of things to happen. You know, you think back, at least I'll be 49, I think, this year. I was born in October of 68. I have not done the math. I'm not 50 yet. But I can think back of when I was younger as a young person, even a teenager in my early 20s, the discussions that used to be had at church, discussions that was going on at Freed Hardeman in the open forum, and the different things that was being discussed then. Some of the things that's going on today was probably not even imagined back then. So we have progressed in our society with sin. Things that we used to talk about that we thought was bad is accepted today, and now something else is taking the place of what used to be bad. But when we look at sin, sin is sin, and Paul gives us a long list on two different occasions of things that is sin that will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Then in the book of Revelation, we find another list, and something as simple as, and don't get me on the way out, something as simple as lying. Not many people think too much of that anymore. Oh, we don't like nobody to tell us a lie, but well, not near as bad as what a lot of people do. And when we think about the sin, no matter how big or how small it may be, even the appearance of evil getting into our homes, into our lives, create a problem just like it did for Adam and Eve, because they were clearly told one thing. You can eat of anything in this garden except for one. Stay away from it. You know, we look back, or at least I do, I look back and I think, Jacob, to myself, I think, you know, come on. Y'all really messed this up. Because if we think about it, David, me and you probably wouldn't have done that. Looking back and reading and knowing what we know today, we said, I wouldn't have done that for nothing. Y'all had it made. You had it made without any worries, and you could have everything that you wanted except stay away from this one tree. I would think to myself that I would have went out and I'd have built me a fence around that tree where there's no way I could have got to it. Because if that's the only thing that separated me from sin, surely we could fight against that, right? I mean, we would want to think that that one thing we could control. But it doesn't matter if it's that one tree or whether it's all the sin we want to talk about today. It all boils down to the same thing. Sin is what separates us from God. We look at some things and we judge some things and we think, I would not do this or I would not do that. But at the same time, as we mentioned this morning in my sermon, the same time, sometimes we're carrying a sin with us. But the danger is when we allow that to come into our home and it destroys our home. What a tragedy. Because God never intended for that to happen. It was not His will that we be separated, that we be divided. God intended for a husband and a wife to help each other. A husband and wife to encourage each other and to help each other to live that life that we should live in order to get to heaven. Don McWhorter, he was a gospel preacher. I want to read something to you that he had written. He said, without consulting man, God planned the home for mankind's benefit and well-being for the glory of God. I want to read that one more time before I get into the rest of it. God planned the home for mankind's benefit, our benefit, but at the same time, our well-being, but both of those for the glory of God. So our homes is what he was saying. Our home should be one that brings glory to God in our lives and in teaching our children and teaching our grandchildren. He went on to say, there's five things in which the home was planned. He said, number one, the home was planned for the continuation of the human race. He said, number two, the home was planned for meeting the needs of men and women, both mental and physical. Number three, he said, the home was planned for the creation of Christ-like character in husbands and wives who seek to live up to Christ's standards. And then number four, he said the home was planned for the training of the children. And then number five, the home was planned for the shared life and haven of safety and recuperation. It's a home that we find safe and we know that we can go and that we can rest. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it says that God created us in His image. In His image. The New Testament teaches us in the book of James that we need to examine ourselves. We need to be a person that goes and looks in a mirror. And when we look in that mirror, we are examining ourselves. We see what kind of person we are. And matter of fact, at that point, we need to be careful that we walk away and not forget what kind of person we are. So in other words, there's changes that have to be made in our life to protect and secure our homes and to make them safe, make them places where we can bring up our children and our grandchildren and all of our family into that area and into that life of pointing toward heaven. I appreciate David so much for adding that song, God's Family. It means a lot to me on several different areas. Number one, it was one of Jay's favorite songs. It was a song that we had on CD, and when we would go back and forth to St. Jude, we would sing it going down the road, and it's also a song that we sang at Jay's funeral. And I think it was the last verse that says that we'll meet again just inside the city as we enter in. You know, that's the goal and that's the dream. That's the last words that I left with Jay, was that you be looking for me. It won't be long, and I'll be with you. And what a great day that's going to be someday when we leave this earth and when we're all reunited with our loved ones just inside that city. When we can take each other's hand and we can walk on in to heaven. I know that's what we all want, and I know that's our goal. You know, it's a struggle sometimes. It's a struggle, and Charlie and I talk about it quite often. I don't mean to throw him under the bus, but Charlie and I talk about it a lot because Charlie and I have some of the same goals. Our goal has been for some time to pull our family close together and for our family to be a family that's Christ-like and that we are all fighting together to get to heaven. We're a family that struggles. We're a family that love each other. But at the end of the day, we know what's number one in our lives. Let us be an encouragement to our own family members. Teach them God's way. And when we struggle, understand that it's not God. Don't turn your back on God. God intended for us to all be happy in our homes. We messed it up. God didn't. God still intends for us to be happy in our homes. Matter of fact, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's wanting nothing more for us to find comfort and happiness in Him. Tonight, are you a Christian? If not, then you can be the best example.